Gets and keeps, floats wide open. Touchdown, Texans, Jordan Thomas. Pass, Amendola, double pass. Receiver is open. That's Drake for the touchdown. Watson standing back there alone. And speaking of alone, there's Hopkins. Hopkins, touchdown.
Uh-oh. The Houston Texans are coming on. Dan Hans is here, the Around the NFL podcast. Riding solo here. Going to throw it to me and the rest of the boys previewing all the Week 9 games in just a few minutes. But we're going to start with Thursday Night Football, a 42-23 win for the Houston Texans. And it could not have been more impressive, especially on the offensive side of the ball for Houston. Deshaun Watson playing one of his best games as a pro, maybe his best game as a pro, complete 16 of 20 passes, 239, 5 touchdowns, no turnovers, a passer rating of 156. He had, here's a stat, here's a good stat you like for your quarterback, had more touchdown passes than incompletions. The Dolphins really had no answer for Watson, and that is my big takeaway from this game is that Watson blew out his ACL during a practice on November 2nd of last year. So we're coming up on the one-year anniversary. This is the first time where I was watching him play, and I thought to myself, okay, this is the guy. His college coach called him the next MJ, or I guess the first MJ in football. So you know, it's a weird thing. And this Deshaun Watson, this version, is the guy that took the league by storm last year. His ability to keep plays alive with his legs. He had a couple big scrambles in this game. Just one big scramble, but 14 yards, and it was a big conversion. And he kept numerous plays alive with his feet, including some of his touchdown passes. Watson played tremendously well in this game. And the Texans left for dead at 0-3. And statistically, and history is instructive, usually an 0-3 team, it's all over. But here we are, 5 wins in a row. They have control of the AFC South. And I know they've had issues with the Patriots historically, especially in the playoffs. But guess what? When you look at the AFC playoff picture, I think it's time to take the Texans seriously because I think they are not at New England's level, not at Kansas City's level, but I think they are getting to that point where you got to put them right up there with the Pittsburghs, the Baltimores, and you could say, yes, well, you know, they beat up on the Dolphins at home, and the Dolphins, let's be serious about the Dolphins here, they started 3-0, and they've lost 4 of 5, and they look like a very mediocre to poor football team, so you got to keep that in perspective, but I just think that this is a Texans team that this is when we talked about going into the season that they had a high ceiling and a low floor. And you saw the beginning of the season, you thought it was going one way. Now it's going the other because if Watson is all the way back, Lamar Miller, I've been waiting for this. A Lamar Miller revenge game against the Miami Dolphins. I've been championing Lamar Miller for years. It didn't really work out for me, but it did on this Thursday night because he plays his former team and goes 18 for 133 in a touch. DeAndre Hopkins is... His numbers won't jump out at you, 6 for 82, but he scored 2 touchdowns, and the one catch that he didn't get credited with was one of the best catches you'll ever see, got wiped out by an offensive penalty, concentration, balance, speed, and power, I don't think there's any other wide receiver in football that's like him. He's truly unique, and you can't give a bigger compliment than that to Nuke. So he was unbelievable. He's got the best hands, I think, since Chris Carter, in my opinion. And he puts it all together, and he is a scary talent. Him and Deshaun Watson, after years of Hopkins dealing with one Hammenegger after another as his quarterback, him and Watson as a team going forward is a scary good thought. Will Fuller, by the way, a draft pick a couple years ago who was supposed to be the guy you lined up on the other side that would complement Hopkins well. He looked just like the guy they need him to be in this game, 5 for 124 in a touch. So you can't say enough about how this team looks on offense. J.J. Watt had another sack in this game, very active, especially early. The defense, opportunistic, making plays. They could have been credited with a defensive touchdown at the end of the first half. It got called back, but and then they would have been approaching a 50-burger. So this was a total effort. And, again, the Dolphins, they are who we thought they were. I think a lot of people at 3-0 weren't buying in, and the Dolphins are not very good. And I know Brock Osweiler is not a great quarterback, but how much better is Ryan Tannehill? I don't know. You tell me. I think it might not be that big an upgrade. I don't think the AFC East has ever been in worse shape than it is right now outside of the Patriots. I think the Patriots can win 8 games maybe this year and win that division, but they'll win 13 because that's what they do. So the Dolphins have fallen back to earth. Their best chance here is to hang around and maybe be in contention for that 6th wild card spot, but I don't see it happening. So a big win for the Dolphins and for the Texans. And one last note on this game, the third quarter was wild. I texted the boys that this game was sneaky great because it was, you know, a lot of back and forth fun on a Thursday night between two teams. Maybe you didn't expect to be enjoying yourself watching the game, and I did quite a bit this game. Greg had a great response and reply on text. He said the third quarter has been drunk. And it was. The Danny Amendola, beautiful pass on a trick play by the Dolphins. The nuke catch that I talked about that got called back, one of the great circus catches you'll see. Devontae Parker, who finally showed up for the Dolphins, maybe he'll get a trade before Tuesday. He had a crazy catch on a deflection. Will Fuller had a long touchdown. And then the quarter ends with an onside kick from the Dolphins that did not work and was really their last gasp. I think Adam Gase saw the writing on the wall and knew this team wasn't going to stop anybody. So there you go. That is Thursday Night Football, 42-23 for the Texans, who are alive and well. Now to the rest of Week 8. The preview begins now.
The Around the NFL Podcast has eaten too many sandwiches.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined in a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Hey-o. Thursday.
We are here. I don't even have memories of my house at this point during these weeks. We are here so often. The only thing that I really remember from this entire autumn is just sitting here staring at the three of you.
You sound so excited about that.
No, it's not a bad or a good thing, but it's just, it feels we are, I'm always sitting in this
seat. Well, this is the Week 8 preview. So we are in it right now. We talked about this last week too. We'll talk about it probably next Thursday as well. By Thursday, it's a long week. It feels like the end of a journey. And I actually was thinking about it. You know, on yesterday's show, I pitched the idea of all the GMs getting on a subreddit, or Wes, you and I were going to launch an app, maybe charge like, I don't know, $8.99 a month or something.
I feel like GMs could afford to pay more than that.
I jacked that up.
$99.99 a month?
Yeah.
I mean, we are saving them from making bad trades and not capitalizing on the, you know, sort of the values that they have. So
yeah.
I feel like we're offering.
I mean, make the app first before we start with right. the
one
bragging
step at
about
a time.
The,
but a good idea. I have an even better idea for today's show.
We're going to have to get somebody with like a modicum of math sense involved because neither of us have any.
We'll cut them in just a little bit. I have an even better idea today.
Okay.
Hi, Greg.
Hi. Waiting for this idea.
The Eagles and Jaguars playing in London. That's the first game we're going to talk about, by the way. Well, the second game, you just heard, of course, our Dolphins-Texans recap. That was great. But the first game we're going to preview is Eagles-Jags. The call of the game is going to come from NFL Network stalwarts such as Rich Eisen, Mooch, Irvin, and Kurt Warner, all in the booth, four-man booth. We went to London last year. We're going to go to London next year, God willing. God save the Queen. Why don't we call a game, the four of us? And I'm not even remotely kidding. We call a game next year in London during the London series.
I love it.
I'm fine if no one's even recording it while we do it. We just do it, the four of us, just in
it could
the,
be
in
a supplemental
crowd.
Thing where people can choose this feed in Game Pass or something.
Who would be the play-by-play person? I would be terrible at that.
We would be able to do anything we want.
This would be like the platform would be that. Like some kind of streaming service or something. I don't think, like, Fox is putting us on.
Maybe put it on the app?
Put it on the app.
On the GM app?
Yeah.
Why not?
So only NFL GMs will be able to witness this.
Didn't the
We'll open it up. We'll have a temporary window, a keyhole, if you will. I'm making up jargon in that industry now. That will allow people to flood the app for a temporary period.
We need Greg out there on that like, boogermobile that we discussed on the Twitter show.
Greg's definitely on the boogermobile.
I'd be down with that.
I mean, Sky Sports, for the defensive line analysis that you're going to be
Sky Sports is there at Wembley this Sunday, and it was there last Sunday, so who knows? Maybe it's not that crazy of a notion.
Well, isn't there a precedent
for
this in the NBA? I believe the starters did this in a preseason NBA
game. There you go. I'm not joking. Why?
I agree with you. Erica could be like part there for halftime.
So maybe we'll start another movement. Once upon a time, we had a hashtag on to London movement, and I think it involved sending pennies to Roger Goodell via postcards. Strange in retrospect.
That was about, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah. So stay tuned. Maybe we'll come up with an idea. We might not even launch it till the spring or the summer because you want to kind of build toward it, and right now is obviously the worst time to do it because it's not going to happen this year. But put us in a booth for one of the three-plus games next year. Not kidding, Greg. Not a bit. This is not a bit.
I mean, if they're allowing, you know, Rich Eisen and Steve Mariucci and those guys to do it as kind of like a crowning achievement of their NFL Network's career, it feels like we're up next.
Right. Well, we're way more popular over there than those guys. Come on.
Are you sure?
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, that may not be the angle we want to take here with
right,
this
campaign. Right, but it's not,
this is just
it's not playing over there. It's playing here. It's playing in the United States.
Right. Right. Well, is it playing there too then?
No.
Who's calling the game over there?
Oh, maybe they do just take the feed. That's true. You're right. You're right. They just take the feed. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they can, in the U.S.
That's a good point.
They don't like us over here. This building is not a fan of our show. But, like, they're not going to use us here. But in the U.K., they can use us.
I think there's a clear channel for that to happen, a clear pathway for that to happen.
All right. There you go. That's my second idea of the week that I really think is a home run. All right. We got a lot of games to get to. Four teams on bye, Chargers, Cowboys, Falcons, Titans, but a lot to get to. So let's start with the London game. The Philadelphia Eagles are coming off a really, really tough loss in week seven, and now their reward after – did you unplug me? What are you doing over there, Gerg? Grog! What'd you do, Grog? No, what is
now,
going on?
Greg...
Grog! We are off to a rollicking start on this Thursday night. Anyway, so yes, the Eagles, a tough loss, one of the worst losses, probably the worst loss of the Doug Peterson era, 17-0 fourth quarter lead against the Panthers. They lose at home 21-17. Now they go to London to face the Jaguars, who are in a free fall, as we know, lost losers of 4 of 5 mark. Blake Bortles gets the start on a short leash, according to his head coach. You gonna see a Blake Bortles with his back against the wall, dominant effort overseas?
I like that he said that he was totally at peace with being the scapegoat for all of Jacksonville's issues. But a lot of times the scapegoat suggests that you aren't really the fault, the reason for the issues. But he absolutely is part of the pie that is an undistasteful treat right now in Jacksonville, a team I don't enjoy watching at the moment. I just simply trust the Eagles more. If you watch that Carolina Panthers game, they melted in the fourth quarter, but they really controlled that game for 46, 47 minutes, and I really blame the secondary down the stretch for what Cam Newton and the Panthers did in the final, really basically 8 minutes of that game or so. The Eagles, to me, have a MVP-level quarterback in Carson Wentz playing as good as he's ever played. He's statistically so much better right now than he was at the start of the season. He looks completely healthy. The Jaguars feel one quarterback switch away from total chaos again. They're in free fall.
I think they're in total chaos.
They are in total chaos. And I am in a bad situation right now, personally, with this contest that we have. And I'm just going to lock up the Eagles right now. I don't care what anyone thinks. They're the road team.
That's two with the Eagles because Greg already locked them up.
I locked
two weeks
it up 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so we're.
I'm just riding Greg's coattails.
I have to tell you guys, I'm locking up the Eagles too.
All right.
Okay, I'm actually going to unlock it now because what's the point of
you're unlocking?
Three? Yeah, sure. I'll pick another one. It just seems like what's the point then?
Why don't all four of us lock up the Eagles?
You can.
No. I'm not locking up.
I'll just pivot. Why not?
You can pivot if you want.
Sure, I'll pick another game.
All right, so you're unlocking. Yeah. You have an unlock drop, Erica?
Greg is back on the acid.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I feel like, what's the point of three of us have the same lock? It's like,
It doesn't matter. It's fine if you lock it. You could if you want. But
the Eagles are a team that hasn't shown to be any good. I've been locking them semi-permanently just as hope. At no point in the season have they been anything but mediocre. They are actually ranked lower than Jacksonville in efficiency in DVOA. They're around 20th, which makes sense. They're about a slightly below average offense, a slightly above average defense. Everything that I believe that they can be has basically just been hope, because I look at the roster and think it all will come together. And it should this week against, you know, a lousy Jaguars offense. But it's like, let's start seeing it.
It's funny because all of that is true, but teams are still using the Eagles as a measuring stick. They're still a statement win opponent, even though they're not that good.
They one big difference between this year and last is Jason Peters. Like, they have a problem at left tackle, whereas usually when he's healthy, at least, and he was injured, obviously, for part of last year, too, you know, that's a huge asset. So that's a big change. And this week you're going up against Yannick Ngakoue and whoever else they want to line up over there, and that's a problem.
But the Jags front seven is getting pushed around in run defense. I think you can run on this team now.
They are ranked 25th in run defense, in fact, the Jaguars. They're a weird team statistically because they're ranked second overall in total defense, first against the pass. But they're getting killed in the run, and they are tied for 30th in the NFL in turnovers. They are not turning the ball over, and when you combine that with how often their quarterback turns the ball over, that's been a big part of their problems, field position and game-changing plays.
Also, when we look at, like, DVOA and that stuff, I get that that's over the course of the whole season, that maybe Jacksonville ranks higher than Philadelphia, but there are segments to the season. In the last 3 weeks for the Jaguars, they have been a hideous team on defense. Absolutely a nightmare.
Yeah, it's more the Eagles point that I'm stressing. They had that one game against the Giants, but other than that, it's 6 weeks of basically mediocre results. Even their wins against the Colts.
So why were you going to lock them up again?
Oh, because I like them. I just like picking a team that I want to root for and I think should get better at some point. And, you know, I think they're a better team than the Eagles. I've been expecting them to come around, but there's been no evidence that they've been showing.
I mean, they killed the Giants and the Giants stink, and they were great for three quarters, especially on defense last week, and then it just crumbled. I still feel like they're going to be okay.
I do too.
And
I mean, that's why I feel confident
this week.
But they just will never be last year's offense, which was just built differently than this
one.
Well,
two things is that, number one, we forgot a big item of news on Wednesday's show, which is Derek Barnett is out for the season, which is one of the biggest surprises and biggest items of news, I think, all year. All week, rather, because he's been a huge part. They're good because of their defensive end rotation. And then the other thing I'd say is this is usually where Blake Bortles pulls something out of his butt. It's like the very moment where it seems like they're absolutely ready to give up on him.
I don't want to lock the Eagles for that very reason.
This is the Blake Bortles. This is where he wants to be, I think.
I will
back
never be
against
afraid
the wall.
Of Blake Bortles.
No, I wouldn't either. The Eagles are
bring
better.
Him to me.
The Eagles
it's a
are
fair
better.
Rejoinder.
The Eagles
right,
are better.
We got to move on. The Baltimore Ravens are up. They lost 24-23. Heartbreak. My boy Justin Tucker, sweet Justin, missed that extra point, but he's ready to bounce back, and he's traveling to Charlotte with his teammates who still love him to face the Panthers, who we just talked about, had that great comeback win. Wes, this is Cam Newton versus the Ravens' number one defense. Is Cam Newton physically okay? He's going to play, but there's a shoulder issue here.
Yeah, Ron Rivera said he has no doubt that Cam Newton's going to play. I don't think this is like a major, major injury. It sounds like something he can manage. And I think Cam, I don't know if we're going to see 65% completion rate all year, but I do think we're seeing a different Cam working with Norv Turner. And he's reached like that final fourth stage of quarterbacking where you are able to manipulate the defense before the snap, or you're able to read the defense and adjust accordingly. And I think he's doing way more of that this year. This is a stiff test, just like it was a stiff test for the Saints defense last year, or offense last week. The Ravens defense is very good, and this has to be one of the most even matchups of the week. For some reason, I think the Ravens are like just slightly better than the Panthers.
You gonna lock it up?
No, I don't like locking up a road team.
We have
so even
history on the line. Wes with 7 straight locks to start the season can be
juicy.
Have the record to himself if he can lock up a Week 8 ball game.
There's a lot of similarities, but not stylistically, but that Cam Newton and Joe Flacco, who are two guys that I think of, especially last year, as the most up-and-down quarterbacks in the league, have been very steady. And I think that's really helped the Ravens. And you kind of know what you're getting out of Flacco every week. And for the most part, you know what you're getting out of Cam Newton every week. And that's a change for those two guys.
That is one of the most drastic changes of any quarterback, because Cam has been so up and down with his mechanics.
I can come up with ways why this, how the Saints could get past Baltimore's defense last week. A lot of different ways. But with this Panthers offense, I just don't see a lot of opportunities for explosive plays. There's not a huge downfield element to their passing game, and really they're going to have to find a way to run the ball. And their running like results haven't been as good the past 2 weeks, but they've been buried in 2 17-0 holes. That had a lot to do with it.
Right.
They need more, though. What secondary receiver is going to step up for the Panthers?
Right.
They need DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel to touch the ball more.
Or Greg Olsen.
And not turn the ball.
Like, everyone assumes Greg Olsen's back in the lineup. Here we go.
No.
You know, he's the key guy. He's moving like a guy who's about ready to retire and is coming off a major injury. That's how he's moving right now.
It looks like he's protecting himself.
And so I don't know what that means, but they could use him to be the second receiver.
Well, his foot is held together by tape and staples at this point. That's problematic.
The Ravens could really use a running game, though. There was a quote by whoever was announcing last game, the play-by-play guy at one point said, like, Alex Collins, you know, running violently but not getting very far on second down. And I thought, like, that's a nice way to sum up Alex Collins in general. Like, he's always running really hard and a lot of crazy things are happening. And then it's like he's averaging 3.5
yards.
Yeah,
but did you know that he did some Irish step dancing?
The
offseason to work on his footwork.
Apparently, that goes all the way back to high school.
that was last season's trope.
They hit
that
every week.
Yeah, it's still
oh
on.
My gosh.
They need Kenneth Dixon to come back.
Mm. Were you aware?
That would help. I was aware. I'm now looking, trying to figure out like which games are the main point of the lock competition. I think for me at this point is just to avoid scorn when I make the pick. So let's go with the Ravens on
exactly.
the road. That's like it'd be nice to get it right, but let's go with the Ravens on the road. Why not?
That sounds like a guy, speaking of protecting yourself, now if yes. you get it wrong, it's like, well, I wasn't really even playing.
Oh, no, I'm trying to get – I think the Ravens are going to win, and I'm absolutely going to pick them to win. And it's a coin flip game, as Wes said, so it's a good one to go with who
you
I
are.
Think
there
win.
Is an element of that at play with the locks where you've got to somehow figure out how to pick a lock that everyone's not going to frown on verbally
right.
for 14 minutes after you make your pick.
I try to – That's also true, but I try to pick games that don't look like they're going to go down to the final minute, and this one to me looks like it's going down
yeah.
to the final minute.
So you lock it up?
Yeah.
Lock it up. Certainly you look in the mirror there, and you like what's looking back at you.
I mean, only if it's right, I guess.
Moving on. The team of Around the NFL is coming out of their bye.
Oh, yeah.
Come out of their bye and lose two games. You know, they get beat by the Dolphins, which just looks worse and worse. They go back and forth of the path, but can't keep up at the end of the day. Lose by touchdown at home. Now they have a chance to get back on track against the Jets at home. A Jets team, Greg, that's brutally beat up right now. And now the latest injury is Bilal Powell, who is out for the year with neck surgery. Robbie Anderson hurt his ankle in practice. There's going to be a lot of special teams players on the Jets offense trying to catch passes this week. This seems like a really good setup for the Bears, a cruise scenario.
I mean, a 3-3 Bears team probably shouldn't be looking past anyone, but you're right that I do think that the Jets are going to recede further into the meaningful games this season, whereas the Bears, I think, are going to stick around, but they have to be worried about Khalil Mack being so quiet the last 2 weeks. They're kind of not the same team when Khalil Mack is quiet or not 100%. Like, he has not helped them playing hurt, assuming that's what he's doing the last 2 weeks.
Which makes me think, can Leonard Floyd show up and make some plays? Because this is what he was drafted to do. Is this what their defense would have looked like if they didn't trade for Khalil Mack?
They were just going to be a bad defense. Which is okay. You know what? After watching the game, they played fine against the Patriots. The defense gave up 24 points. They did force some punts. You're playing a really good offense. It just wasn't like a difference-making defense, and that's what we thought they might be.
If you're a Jets fan, well, Dan, you could tell me if you disagree. I thought the first quarter against the Vikings, and that's not a long segment of time, but they really, really hung around and played well, and then they just completely – their offense is so beaten up that it's one of the most inconsistent offenses in the league, because it's just a bunch of jabronis out there.
Yeah.
Like it's guys you've never even heard of trying to catch like screen passes from Sam Darnold.
This was the case of a Vikings team just being much more talented and kind of overwhelming their opponent as the game went on. I'm really nervous about Sam Darnold's progression here as he goes through his rookie year because I don't know how he's going to be able – if this is a situation where he doesn't have anybody to throw to and the blocking's not good and they're going to be playing from behind, I just don't want him to get hurt and I don't want him to have a season where he throws 28 interceptions. And really through no fault of his or even Todd Bowles, I don't like the direction the season is heading and I don't like how this game feels at all.
Yeah, I agree because I think the Bears are due to turn it around. But if you're the Jets – you're hoping you get a little healthier in the secondary, and you hope Mitchell Trubisky gets a little less – he's been very lucky. No one has a better ratio of, like, solid-looking stats to not playing very well than Trubisky, who's had a bunch of interceptions dropped.
Eli's waving his hand right now.
Yeah, I don't know. That's fair. And, like, when Trubisky misses – this is what worries me. When Trubisky misses, he misses by, like, 15 yards. Mm. And this is a guy who's supposed to be accurate, and maybe it's more down-the-field throw, but it's like – he misses by a ton, and I don't know where Allen Robinson's been. That was supposed to be their number one receiver. Right now, I think he's fourth on the team in receiving.
Matt Nagy addressed that, and you can either believe him or you don't, but he says, Mitch is doing that at my instruction. When the play isn't there, I've instructed him to throw it away and not come close to the play. So that's
in terms of missing the throws?
Yeah, okay. He said if the throw isn't there, if it's tight coverage or if it's not there, throw it. Don't throw it that close.
I still see a quarterback that, like, I don't know. I don't want to build an offense around a scrambling quarterback, and I don't see a guy that's like a pinpoint passer at all.
Let's move on. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3-3, coming off that 3-point win over the Browns in overtime, travel to Cincinnati to face the Bungles, who got humbled at Arrowhead. Dreadful Sunday night loss. Mark, will the Bengals bounce back from being blown out? And is Tampa the exact right team you want in the building?
I don't know how the Bengals talk about looking at yourself in the mirror. If they fall here at home to Tampa Bay, then suddenly sort of everything that I thought about Cincinnati before the Chiefs game, the wheels come off of all those pretty things that I thought Cincinnati could be this season because they're just another team at that point. Tampa Bay obviously played awfully in overtime against Cleveland, but Jameis Winston and their passing game can damage people, and they were really potent for most of that game against Cleveland until overtime. The one guy that's vanished entirely and didn't have a catch in regulation was DeSean Jackson. And yesterday when we were dealing with that computerized minstress, Bridget. I was going to suggest that we have DeSean Jackson as trade bait to maybe a team like the Jets or a team like the Texans that could use someone else in their game. He's not – Winston – this has
but
been –
But you forgot to bring it up because of your blind rage or what happened?
Well, it was my third option, and we didn't cycle
– not.
Thank you so
much. Hey, the Bucs are 3-3.
Sorry, Mark.
They're only like a half game behind the Bengals. I don't think they should be trading people. They should be trying to go to the playoffs.
It's just the one thing that I feel like NFL.com has written like 6,000 Jameis Winston trying to get in sync with DeSean Jackson articles.
That's fair.
And
it's
the one thing that's not happening.
Real thing.
Because it was happening with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He throws a different deep ball than Fitzpatrick, who throws rainbow. Fitzpatrick throws him up in the air and lets DeSean Jackson run under it.
Less effective.
Winston throws it more on a line.
If I was a contender, and if DeSean Jackson wasn't working in Tampa, I'd give up like a fifth-round pick to take on his salary for next year.
Yeah.
He was leading the league in receiving after 4 weeks.
Yep.
And then he vanished.
He vanished. Come on.
He's a 30-year-old receiver. He's actually, I think, due to make like $11 million next year, and you don't even necessarily have to pay him.
Right.
And you just have him as a rental, potentially, and give up a late-round pick.
The one thing I'd say, Wes, Tampa's giving up 40 points on the road.
Well, also, they fired their defensive coordinator, and I thought played much
they
better
played
on
better.
Defense
they did.
Last week.
Yeah.
And they're playing an offense.
The first half.
In Cincinnati that now really just has two receivers. It has Tyler Boyd and A.J. Green. But in 2018, that doesn't really, like, fly. All these great offenses have four or five options on every play. They've got nothing from John Ross, who's hurt again. Losing Tyler Eifert really hurt them. And so they're a little more one-dimensional with a pretty lousy defense that everyone got to see last Sunday night. It wasn't just because they're playing the Chiefs, because they're a lousy defense right now, even though they have good players.
Eifert injury was a killer.
Yep.
Yeah, their production has gone down in four straight games on offense. And then on defense, Burfict's not practicing this week. We'll see. But, Greg, your accountable hot take is not going well so far.
Oh, yeah. It was that Chris Wessling would admit at the beginning of November that Jameis Winston is playing great football, which, yeah, it's not off to a good start. I think he's played about what he normally does.
Right.
Some good, some bad.
Winston could have played like Patrick Mahomes, and Wes probably wasn't.
No, let's talk about a guy who just keeps making bonehead mistakes over and over. How many years into his career is he now, and he still plays like a rookie? And we keep treating him as if, oh, he's got this great ceiling. But he's been the same player all along.
I think the bloom's coming off the rose a little bit on that
end
as well.
It
doesn't feel like people are quite as high on what this guy's ceiling is.
I hear you, but he's a year younger than Carson Wentz. He's 24 years old.
I know, that's part of
what people say, too. It's a long career. Like, people say that about Matthew Stafford.
Next year he'll be a year younger than someone else, and the year after that he'll be a year younger than someone else, and he'll still be throwing games away.
This was a rough, accountable hot take by you, Greg. I don't think
it was
a lot of
hideous sacks.
It was a long shot. Here's the thing, though. He's already – you're right, maybe his ceiling's not that high. He's already a league-average starting quarterback.
Right.
So that
which
it's,
he's been,
it's
which
not
he's been
like,
for
it's
four
not
years.
Like he's, doesn't have value.
With,
he's a solid starting quarterback.
With baggage. Legitimate baggage.
Yeah, it's fair.
All right, let's move on. The Seahawks are 3-3. A get-healthy win against the Raiders in Week 6. Then they're bye. And now they head to Detroit to face the Lions. Wes, you locked up the Lions last week. You felt good about them going to Miami, and now they got a home game, and they also got Damon Snacks Harrison. I would assume he'll be part of the game plan against the Seahawks. How you feeling here about 2-3-3 teams?
Going back to the well, locking up the Lions again.
Whoa. Wow. Look at you.
Back-to-back Lions.
Look at you. Why the confidence?
I like the way they're playing, and a lot of that is their rookie class. Kerryon Johnson, who I'm not sure who he reminds me of, maybe Darren McFadden.
I saw on Twitter you were going back and forth with some people trying to figure out.
He makes people miss, though, and Darren McFadden did not.
Absolutely, Darren McFadden did early in his career. He had two great seasons with the Raiders. I mean, give me a break. When Hugh Jackson was running that team, Darren McFadden was playing at a Pro Bowl level for a couple of years. So I don't want to hear that.
He did not make people miss in space, though.
He absolutely did. You are incorrect. How did he average over 5 yards per carry
in
those years?
Guys, let's go back to the 2010 tape right now. Yeah. Pause the show, and let's figure it out.
I mean, of course, when he played for the Cowboys and he was washed up, he didn't. But Frank Ragnow is playing much better, the first rounder. Kerryon Johnson and Deshaun Hand, a guy they drafted in the fourth round on their defensive line, is getting after quarterbacks. Hmm. I like this rookie class.
You know, I like – that's a great name. My favorite Lions name still is Jerry Ball.
Oh, yeah. Watching him.
Big fan of Jerry Ball.
Cleveland Brown, too, for a while.
Yeah.
These are two really improved offensive lines. You mentioned Ragnow. I mean, the Lions kind of controlled that game. We talked about in the offseason that they were supposed to be much better up front. It took a little while to come together. And then the Seahawks look like a different team. I know they were playing the Raiders, but in general, their offensive line has not been a problem this year. ESPN had this whole analytical study of who has the best tackle combination in football and pressures, hurries, all this different stuff. They have the Seahawks as the fifth best combination of tackles in the league, which seemed a little crazy to me, but I do think that they've gotten improved play and they're good run blockers and they've got a bit of an identity. So I think this is the week Wes is going down. I think the Seahawks win this game, but I love the Seahawks team.
I wish I didn't already
blow my lock. I would have just gone right against
it. Change it again?
Let's do it again.
No rules here.
Let's do it again.
Oh, wow.
That's how you pick up ground on Wes.
There you go.
If you win.
Lock it up.
If you win.
Erica,
or you fall even further behind into a total pit of darkness.
You're basically done in the race.
Taking
a road dog. Why not? I do think the Seahawks are good. So it's also a result
I want to happen. But the Lions are playing some good football right now.
I think the Damon Harrison trade is perfect for this defense. In the three games they lost, they gave up 180 yards rushing. And they've been kind of back and forth as a defense. In the three games they won, they gave up less than 100 rushing. Mm. And this addresses their biggest hole on that defense right now. And I think it's a fit for the coach. It's a fit for the scheme.
We are five games into our preview. Greg has three locks so far. All three have been road dogs, by the way.
Going hard.
A little fun fact. Moving on, the Denver Broncos, 45-10 victors on Thursday night, so they get a kind of a mini bye, and they need it because now they're going to Arrowhead to face the Chiefs, who also won 45-10 in Week 7 and look as good as anybody in football on offense, including the Rams, Greg. Who's got a better offense right now?
It's a good question.
Brief aside.
I would take the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are harder to stop overall. I don't know. They're two of the best offenses we've seen in a long time. And one of the reasons the Chiefs are so good, because like last week, the Bengals tried to keep them all in front of them, you know, make them kind of work the way down the field, not just all big plays. And it didn't matter. Like, cause all of these guys can break tackles. Kelce, Kareem Hunt is leading the league in missed tackles right now. But I think the Chiefs overall are better.
I mean, the Broncos had,
I guess if I had to choose one,
the Broncos had this team beat about a month ago. It was in their building. They could not figure out a way, and Showtime, according to Joe Tessitore, took over. But it's they're going to need to a lot more on the road here. This is a tough task for any team.
Chiefs are the fourth team in the last 15 years to average 37 points per game through week 7. 2013 Broncos, 2009 Saints, 2007 Patriots.
Hmm.
37 points per game.
That's wild.
Well, one of the reasons that's a little under the radar is the Chiefs have the number one special teams in the league. So you're adding the number one offense, in my mind, and according to Football Outsiders, the number one special teams, where they have great field position, they have great return units, they have a great field goal kicker. It's like you don't need to have a great defense if you got all that going on.
Yeah, and there is room for improvement on that defense. I think
they did it last week, played great.
Dorian O'Daniel and Brendan Speaks are getting some playing time with Justin Houston out. I think that's going to be valuable down the stretch. To me, their defense is playing a little bit better. They get Daniel Sorensen back soon, who was on IR to begin the year.
Von Miller hasn't had a sack in 2 years against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs, their offensive line has protected Mahomes really, really well. They do everything well. That Broncos from last Thursday, the game feels like 2 years ago, but that was like their coach did not lose this team. Not the way they played the Cardinals. I know it's a terrible Arizona team, but Von Miller played out of his mind, and he's going to have to do it again.
And the Chiefs have the Von Miller stopper and former Brown, Mitchell Schwartz, who,
he's been awesome.
Who has really won that matchup against Von Miller over and over again.
And I want to – you brought up Vance Joseph. I don't think he's out of the woods here with job security because
no.
Let's assume this goes how we think will probably go, you know, let's say 40 to 17. Throw it out there. And then all of a sudden you're sitting on 3-5. If you don't win that Houston game the next week going into your bye, Vance Joseph's still in a bit of trouble, even though he had that big resounding win last week against a terrible Cardinals.
I just wonder, I guess, with some of these, because you've already fired one of your coordinators who deserved to go in Mike McCoy. But that's the Cardinals. But like
Broncos fired him last year. It's hard to keep track of who fired
at this point, please. But who do you hand the team to? Like, what's the point of firing
the head
coach?
Should we bring Mike McCoy onto our show and then fire him like in week 8?
That would be
kicking a man while he's down.
It feels like it.
I would not wish getting fired 3 times in like 20 months on your worst enemy. That's pretty rough.
Well, the only thing
20
is
20 months, I can't remember any NFL coach that ever happening to. He was asked to do the press conference after the last game ever played in San Diego. He talked to the media. I was sitting there. By the time you got back up to the press box, there was a photocopy on your desk with a statement that he was fired. In the time between walking up in the elevator, he was fired over that time. And now he's been fired twice since. That's
a rough.
The paper was like coming off the copier while he was speaking.
It was hot.
Moving on. It was hot in more ways than one, Greg. The way you told that story was hot.
What if we have him on the show and not fire him?
Nah, he's not going to be doing a good job based on what we've seen.
It's a totally different
you
trade.
Oh, scamps. Oh, guys.
All right, here we go. The first place. Oh, yeah. The NFC East, the leaves changing color, you know, getting back from St. Margaret's, going over to Granby and Poppy's house, and there's Poppy on that brown chair. And he's holding that root beer, and he's got his pretzels. And I say, Poppy, how are the Giants doing today? And Poppy says, eh. Thanks, Poppy.
So is he super plugged in on the Giants, or is he
he's
somewhat
in. He's
apathetic?
Into the game, and it's not really a time for conversation.
Mm.
I didn't have a lot of deep conversations with my grandfather. He was a somewhat quiet man. But when the Giants were on, you weren't going to be going back and forth about, oh, look at this zone defense scheme. Wait, right. What's Sims doing today? No, it's kind of just like Poppy's watching the game in the den, and if you want to sit there and watch it with them, you can. But don't expect to be in a heavy
hands
conversation.
Off, Poppy.
You know what that reminds me of? A fan's notes.
Where yeah.
You go to the bar to watch the Giants, and you don't want heretics genuflecting in the middle.
Oh, it's the worst when you're trying to watch a game somewhere out and someone's in your ear. Mm-hmm. Get away from me.
Anyway, so the reason I thought of that is because the Redskins and Giants are playing. And also I watched the – I had it on my DVR for weeks and weeks and weeks. The Lawrence Taylor Football Life. Did you guys check that out?
I haven't seen that one.
It was very good. It's a good Wayback Machine. That. You should check that out, Mark. Great time machine of the NFL and that division in particular. Anyway, so here are the Redskins, 4-2. They are leading the NFC East, and they really now get an opportunity to set themselves up well going into the second half of the season. Because here are the Giants, who Mark are just in tatters right now at 1-6, trading away Eli Apple. We didn't really get into that on the last podcast. In addition to the trading Snacks Harrison to the Lions, they move Eli Apple to the Saints. And this was a guy that was a difference maker. Maybe didn't live up to his draft hype as a first-round pick. His mom maybe made more headlines than him in his 2 years in New York. But he was a piece of that defense. So this is a complete – they're in complete shambles right now, and the Redskins couldn't get them at a better time.
They've given up on their season. They're in purge mode. And we both come from somewhere where we have a lot of Giants – Giant fan friends, and I don't know if you're getting the text. I'm getting texts from some. They're furious with what's happened with this team over the past couple years. And that you guys talked about the Redskins-Cowboys game as like an old-school NFC West rumble, and I couldn't agree more watching that. And what I loved about Washington, what they did against Dallas, was they created two major turnovers of Dak Prescott fumbles that changed that game entirely. And they have a chance to do it again. Eli Manning is getting banged up every game, 2+ sacks in 6 of 7 appearances. He's getting hit he's just getting hit left and right. And the Redskins, basically this feels like an absolute wipeout if they can keep a lid on Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley. Like, the Giants are confusing. They have these players that you'd want on any team, and they're unwatchable as an overall franchise right now.
Those turnovers from the Redskins defense that you mentioned, DJ Swearinger having a great year.
Oh, yeah.
And to my mind, maybe the most underrated player in the NFL, Zach Brown, inside linebacker, is one of the best run-stopping linebackers in the league. And he is the heartbeat of that defense, I think.
You would assume their defensive line, which we've been talking about all year, would kind of dominate up front, that you couldn't really run on this team. And so then it's on Eli. And one thing I was thinking watching that Giants game, where I thought Eli played pretty well overall last week, was throwing the ball pretty well, but he is so often not on the same page with his receivers, and that's something – it's unfair to compare him to Peyton Manning, but, like, that's what Peyton Manning did best, was basically be on the same page of his receivers. You could drop a new receiver onto his team, and first year it's like the timing would just be perfect. And you just see so many times with Sterling Shepard and Ingram and even ODB that, like, they're not seeing the field the same way.
I am getting out of the Eli defender business, but – when Peyton Manning got old, he didn't look so good dealing with new receivers, I imagine. Like, if Eli is washed up, then
For 1 year. Peyton Manning got out. He had 1 year, and he got out. And he won the Super Bowl.
I just don't like these, like the team that decides it's going to channel itself through a running back. No matter how good the running back is, it's just like you're 15 years behind what's happening right now.
It was tough to watch that game. I hit on it a little bit on the Twitter show, but Saquon Barkley is as talented as any running back in the league. But when you're just running him into a wall over and over again, and then how many touches did he have in that game? I know it probably was, all right, around, 23. It felt like it was 123, and there was just no way to run an offense. There was one play, I think it was a 3rd-and-2, where, and this is on Eli for not seeing the field as well, but Barkley runs out for a screen to pick it up. Three defenders converging upon him, and Eli just throws it to him anyway, and he gets swallowed up for a 7-yard loss. And I'm like, this is not how football should be played. Like, I am not Bill Walsh, or as a drawing up plays in the dirt with Joe Montana, but I know this is not how offense is supposed to look, especially when you have skill players on this team. It's they're a tough watch right now. And I won't do it again.
I don't remember the last time I disagreed with the comparison as much as all of the Barry Sanders comparisons to Saquon Barkley.
I don't get that.
I don't see that at all.
If he's also like 40 more pounds.
He's a much more physical guy. And he's got explosive jump cuts like a young Adrian Peterson more than a Barry Sanders.
You're right about the right timing, by the way, because you get Adrian Peterson going up against a team that just got rid of Snacks. It's like, thank you.
Could be a $120 for your boy, Wes. How about a $120 and a touch?
I mean, he's on a Pro Bowl.
Like a Pro Bowler.
Let's move on. The Brownies.
It's not a thing.
Okay. Not a thing. 2-4-1. Disappointing loss at Tampa last week. Now, Now they're up against it. Sometimes you got to win these games. Sometimes you got to win a game. You got to win the Bucs game because the next week you got to go to Pittsburgh now and face the Steelers coming off their bye. You do, I guess, catch a break, a mark in the sense that Le'Veon Bell isn't there, but they've been fine. They've been fine without him.
They got to make their own breaks.
They've been fine without Le'Veon Bell. Was.
Oh yeah, they've been fine. And to me, this matchup. What I'd be worried about as a Browns fan is there seems to be a disconnect between Baker Mayfield and his pass protection. I can't put my finger on it, but he doesn't seem as confident in the pocket when he drops back, and he's getting hurried a lot. I can't tell if that's his fault or the offensive line, but there's an issue there, and the Steelers' pass rush has really come alive the last few weeks. So to me, that's the matchup to watch in this one.
I don't like the matchup at all. I mean, Cleveland also, this is another one of those, like, slay the ghost type games. They haven't, on Sunday, come Sunday, they will have not won in Pittsburgh in 5,502 days. And the last time they
How
won.
How many years is that?
Well, the last time, I was remember sitting at my parents'
like 17
house.
17 years? What is it?
2003, Tim Couch beat them on a, I think it was a Sunday night
6 years?
Football
You were
game.
Sitting on your couch watching Couch?
2003.
Sitting on my couch watching Couch.
Yes, Could you just tell us the years because the days?
2003.
He said 2003.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
He told us.
No, I was not going to have you deduce that. But that's how. That's just the story of this team. And like you, the way they played in the second half against the Bucs on offense with Nick Chubb, that was
Nick Chubb's an upgrade on Carlos.
He is. And I wanted them to keep high just for the sheer sake of depth. Because if you lose Chubb for even a couple weeks, you've got nothing but Duke Johnson there. But I think they lead the league in drops. And the left tackle play has been getting Baker Mayfield killed, and sometimes the right tackle play, and sometimes right up the middle. So I don't like the matchup against I almost was going to lock up the Browns in one of these stupid things that I do, and I said, stop doing this.
Don't do it.
Stop.
No, that would be stupid.
How about the idea that Joe Thomas is a villain for retiring? How about that?
No.
No one said that. Who said that?
I just said it.
I am curious, like, has the Steelers
– No, because you're on the sideline and he's still, like, Browns fan number one. It's like, if you love this Baker Mayfield so much, stay for another year.
It would have been perfect for one more season, but, yeah. You know, who knows.
Think about somebody else.
Continue to savage your body, Joe.
Thank you.
What did you
say? What'd you say, Bridget? I actually missed it.
Dan is hot and masculine. Good trade, old Zwisser.
All right, not a trade, but okay.
Come up with some new ideas.
Could have, yeah, entered a new one there. But
well, she doesn't have a lot of the RAM.
Well, we can tell.
I want to know if, like,
She's got a lot of everything else, though, if you know what I'm saying.
What are you saying? It's a robot.
It's a hot robot.
It's not even a robot. It's just a computer.
It's like weird science right now.
It's just a computer.
You thought
screen.
It was a computer, but now I'm peeling back the layers, and now you're learning that Eric and I went in the dumpster and put together a full robot.
Mm. It's a monitor with a huge backside.
And it is beautiful.
The Steelers went into the...
and it lives with me.
Oh, no.
I keep her in the garage.
What, Greg?
What does Emily think about that?
She doesn't know.
I am Jack the Ripper.
You have made something of an announcement here that's no longer probably...
I have the only key to the garage. I'll stop there.
What else you got in there?
I'm having...
Censored.
No, that could be cut out of the show. All right, go ahead, Greg.
Fortier's going to save that drop.
I don't even want to go next. I can't follow that up.
Oh, you had something, though.
Something on the Steelers.
I mean, it's probably... at this point, is it?
You know, it's probably about, like, line play or whatever. Ben Roethlisberger before the bye was just chilling. Like they were the Bengals were sending blitzes, the Falcons were, and granted maybe those aren't the two best defense in the world, but like teams were sending people at him and he was just like hanging out back there. He could not have been more worried. They could not have dominated their last two games before the bye up front more than they did. And as Wes mentioned, it came on defense too. So I'm wondering, like, are those improvements going to stick? Because then they're back to basically being the Steelers team everyone expected.
All right. Let's move on.
That was worth waiting for. I liked it.
That was good. The Indianapolis Colts.
Why are we constantly self-assessing during the show?
The Colts are 2-5, but they look damn good in destroying the hideous Bills, 37-5. Last week, and now they get the Raiders. How about that? How about that for a back-to-back to get healthy? We just talked about the Giants being in a tear it down. Well, the Raiders just traded Amari Cooper. There's reports that nobody likes the quarterback. I'm sure that's good for morale in the locker room. So, Greg, the Colts have a chance to really get rolling here against the down-on-its-luck Raiders unit.
Yeah, if I had been trying to predict like what Wes would have locked up, which would make another fun segment. Why don't we just lock up who other people are going to lock up?
Wait, are you
going to
say what happened? I was thinking the same thing earlier today.
I would have guessed.
This did not pass the mirror test.
You can't lock against the Raiders.
No, this did not pass the mirror test.
They're barely favored. They're favored. I mean, the Lions are actually favored by more.
That's your mirror. You're talking about your mirror.
The Raiders? Yeah, but here's the thing. The mirror is subjective. So, of course, that's one way that I do it, and that's all you need to worry about.
No, I could not look in the mirror on this game. Remember the John Fox Bears where, like, once a year or twice a year?
The Eagles are favored by more than the Colts. So are the Lions, for that matter.
This is, by the way,
I don't care what the desert says.
Let me just say
I'm just saying it's not a crazy notion to take the Colts.
I feel like I can help here. You use the line a lot to figure out the mirror. Wes, you do not. Let me say, because I did see these lines, it's a bad line.
Yeah.
Well, you agree, right?
Can I make my point about John Fox?
Right, Wes, go ahead.
Remember with the Bears, and once or twice a year, he would just punt a game. Like, he wouldn't even try to win. Right. It would be just like, I'm just going to punt 30
times.
Did it
against the Seahawks once. Yep.
The Raiders in London.
Pre-game decision.
The Raiders in London punted their offense. They decided that their rookie tackles could not block the Seahawks, so they didn't try to pass longer than 10 yards.
Well,
basically,
Carr was throwing through a shoulder injury. Too.
Yeah, they could not run an offense, and they knew it. Like, by the middle of the first quarter, they said, this guy can't drop back and throw downfield.
But their left tackle hasn't protected anyone all season.
And now they have a rookie right tackle, too. And their left tackle was playing through a knee injury in that game, too. So, I mean, that's a lot of what happened. But, no, I could not lock up against the Raiders. Come on.
You can't say it, but the people in the desert, this is how much better they feel about the Colts over the Raiders this week.
That doesn't
feel like it's
no.
They're not. It's not passing the eyeball test for me. The way the Colts are playing and how bad the Raiders are.
That's Greg's world. I don't assess that well.
I mean, they're at home. Yeah. If we all knew what was going to happen ahead of time, we could become rich. But
Marlon, well,
have
I mean,
no idea.
Are we going to do this endless circle of whether the desert knows what they're talking about or not?
Right.
They're always right.
No, that's not my point.
Anything.
I'm just saying,
you can't ever predict anything because nobody knows anything. I mean, what's the purpose of this show then?
I think predictions are not the purpose of the show.
Greg's a nihilist,
very
man.
Low.
He's a nihilist.
I love football. Like, I'm excited for Thursday night football. You guys are groaning about it. I'm not a nihilist.
I just want to watch it somewhere fun.
Is like
and
a bigger
come here after,
is a big but... part of the show. I do think the Colts are
every
much
team
better.
Is even. They're all 500, and they're all going to finish 8-8. Greg,
we all love.
They all have the same strengths and weaknesses. There's no use. Any analysis whatsoever is totally useless in the end.
I love talking about like how the teams are different, and we love this Colts team, which is 2-5. It's totally different than any Colts team we've seen because Andrew Luck never gets hit. He's been sacked once in the last 3 weeks. He doesn't run the ball. He's essentially a completely different quarterback than we've ever seen him be before.
My dream is still in play, by the way. It's not likely because the Chiefs are having a really nice season, but everybody can still go 8-8. Before the season, I was very excited about that possibility, and maybe that's the best way for football to be played, is that everybody is in the mix. Anything can happen. Everybody goes 8-8. Still in play.
Got about two or three more weeks on that trip.
I love the Colts, Wes. My thing is I'm worried about, like, I don't know if they're at the point where I'm just assuming that they're going to win a road game against any team. That's all.
I don't like that Marlon Mack, he got downgraded to did not practice today, and people aren't – I'm not sure why that is at this point. That was suspicious.
Maybe it's a rest.
I don't think you can rely on him. He's got an ankle injury right now, so we'll see. But
they ran the ball well last week.
Hey, G Suite is a suite of cloud-based productivity tools – some people say productivity tools that includes Gmail, Docs, Slide, Sheets, and Drive. These tools improve your work life, both in terms of your experience and the outputs you create. Hence the new campaign, Make It With G Suite. You know when you have 20 identical versions of a document labeled final and no clue which is the latest?
Yes, it is very annoying, highly annoying.
So you make another version and name that one final, right?
That's exactly.
With G Suite by Google Cloud, a range of work apps like Gmail, Docs, and Slides let you make real-time updates to the same doc without having to keep track of a version after version of a project. It's really good, guys. To find out more about G Suite's productivity tools, data. Visit gsuite.com. That's gsuite.com. Make it with G Suite by Google Cloud.
Love football? Love fellowship? Love serving your community? Come on down to the Hermosa Beach Kiwanis Club. Our mission is to offer community support by providing mentoring and leadership opportunities through local service projects and youth programs. Our motto, serving the children of the world, one child, one community at a time. We meet every Wednesday at 12 noon at 2515 Valley Drive in beautiful Hermosa Beach, California. Our club has been in service to our community for more than 90 years. Hear that? 90 years. We are part of Kiwanis International, an organization serving children for more than a century. We'd love for you to come join us at one of our weekly lunch meetings every Wednesday at 12 noon. The address, once again, 2515 Valley Drive in sunny Hermosa Beach. Why not stop by and be part of the fun and part of the change?
Hermosa Beach is beautiful this time of year. Let's move on to the San Francisco 49ers. 1-6, got spanked by the Rams last week. Travel now to Arizona to face the Cards, coming off a mini bye after they got embarrassed by the Broncos on Thursday Night Football. They get another home game here. Mark Sessler, which of these teams has a better outlook for the rest of the season?
I think it's the 49ers. I mean, you're already into coaching switches with the Cardinals. I do think it's interesting, though, Byron Leftwich, Bruce Arians loved that guy. Wherever he goes, people rave about him. He's their new play caller. It's probably a nice change for David Johnson and for Josh Rosen, who looked absolutely lost against the Broncos last Thursday night. Two killer pick sixes, and he's not getting protected. And you're worried about Sam Darnold in New York at times. I get worried about where Josh Rosen will be at the end of this season if this continues.
Byron Leftwich has never called plays before. It's an experiment.
Yeah.
It's a desperate experiment, yeah, for sure. Because I don't know, because it feels like Byron Leftwich was just playing in the league, and and now all of a sudden he's going to be calling plays in the middle of the season, taking over. It feels like a big job for anybody, and you hope he does well. But the idea that this is going to now solve the Cardinals' woes on offense, that feels like a reach. We'll have to see how it works out.
These teams just played. This is too close to be playing against each other again.
Ouch!
Like 3 weeks ago. Give me a break.
Give out the Bunsen burner blowtorch.
If you're a 49ers fan, you could not make a better schedule, though, before your bye. You probably play the three worst teams in the league in a row.
You're right.
Except for themselves.
Except for the Bills and themselves. But the three straight one-win teams. I mean, that's as good, and the next two will be at home. So,
wow. If only they weren't on a five-game losing streak.
Right, get healthy. Way to go. Get to 3-7.
Cardinals did not play poorly against San Francisco last time.
They won.
That was their best game of the year, and I mean, there's not many to pick from. But it's like, I don't know. You can't. 49ers can't look.
It's going out on a limb a little bit to call that their best game, but I'll go with that.
What's better? I don't know what's better.
Well, they've only won one.
Yeah. Even with C.J. Beathard at quarterback, I have more confidence in the 49ers offense, but I have more confidence in the Cardinals defense. I don't really trust the 49ers defense.
No, it's terrible. They built that defensive line everyone got excited about. We always hear how great DeForest Buckner is and Armstead, and they took Solomon Thomas. And DeForest Buckner is good.
He's very good.
It's not his fault his teammates are lousy. But if that's the identity, can you do something, that group?
sack a quarterback.
Yeah, make a difference.
Pick this game, Mark.
I will go 49ers confidently.
Wes?
I'll go Cardinals at home. At the farm.
Because I just traded for David Johnson, he's going to have a big breakout game. I got the Cardinals.
49ers, and I'm locking it up.
For real?
It just seems like a fun bit. Yeah, just keep.
You're going to do it?
Changing,
well, they are a road team.
Changing around. Yeah, let's well.
You're keeping up the streak. I like
it. You know, whenever you can lock up against the Cardinals, you got
to
do it.
Trying to mix it up here.
Let's move on and talk about the Green Bay Packers.
That guy on Twitter, ATN Lockups, his head is spinning right now.
He's like rocking in the corner.
He just like stops listening when all four of us have locked up, and he stopped listening 25 minutes ago with Greg's first lock.
Stop it! The Packers coming off their bye, and a bit of an underwhelming performance, definitely on the defensive side of the ball in their last game of Monday Night Football, but they got the win against those Niners, and now they better be scoring because they're heading to Los Angeles to face the Rams, the NFL's only undefeated team at this stage, 7-0. Speaking of desert people, Wes, they don't like the Packers' chances here. Do you?
I have a tingling feeling. The antenna are up, and my instincts are telling me to pick the Packers in this game, but I just
you gonna lock it up?
I don't have the onions to do it. I don't know why. But
you can pick them.
I can't. I like rolling with the Lions 2 weeks in a row. But I do think the Packers are better than they've shown so far, and they're getting healthy. They should get Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison back, and more importantly, Jaire Alexander, the rookie cornerback, who was their best cornerback early in the season, should be back.
Didn't their pass defense against C.J. Beathard and company spook you going against the Rams and all those great receivers?
It absolutely spooked me. As I said, they will have their best cornerback back.
Our great research packet, which Dan always has up here, has an interesting note on Jared Goff. It's the most effective play-action quarterback in the league in terms of yards per attempt, I believe, and going up against the last-ranked secondary in terms of going up against play action. Jared Goff hasn't had to do much the last 3 weeks. Even what he has had to do, though, he hasn't been quite as spectacular and difference-making as he was early in the season. So now, all right, here, we got a real game here.
Is Jared Goff a system quarterback?
No, I want to see the September Goff back in the mix against the Packers.
Is that what you're saying, Greg?
I think we will.
Isn't everything play action for the Rams? I mean, I'm exaggerating it a little bit, but they do very little just dropping back straight from center.
They do it 40% of the time, which is more than 10% more than any team in the league. So they do it far more than any other team, and it works.
And when
great.
They're not doing play action, they're doing a lot of like ghost jet sweeps and a lot of trickery in the backfield before the snap.
There's a game each week where I decide not to say a single thing of value, and that is this game that I'm choosing to do
that's
that with.
An so,
I mean, this
game
is a great game, though. What? Aaron
well,
Rodgers
I, it's
in
not
Los
like,
Angeles.
It's not like there's not enough for anyone else to say. Continue on.
A lot of Aarons in this game. Aaron Donald, Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, the battle of the two greatest Cal quarterbacks of all time. And maybe there was another one that I have no idea. But
oh, there's got to.
Gonna guess.
I mean, they're better than Kyle Bowler.
Is this connected, Mark? To
I'm
your
just saying,
long-standing...
is there a third that's better than Goff? I doubt it.
There's one from the 70s or 80s.
Is this connected to your longstanding distaste of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
One
I
of the strangest things.
I don't have a distaste for Aaron Rodgers. It is the Packers fans that moan about their up and down luck when you've had like 30 years of the best quarterback play to watch ever. Settle down with your complaints.
I have gotten tweets before from Packers fans saying that they should be on the pain rankings.
Please.
And they need to calm down.
Please.
With that. They're on the pleasure.
Steve Bartkowski.
Are we having two different conversations right now?
That's
not how podcasts work. By the way, Todd Gurley on pace for 25 touchdowns. On the ground.
Pretty good.
I want
32 total. Touchdowns.
Don't you guys That's want the Rams to keep winning and stay undefeated up until that Chiefs
yeah.
game?
Until the Chiefs game, yes.
Just, I mean, just a couple weeks.
I get a little concerned that we sometimes feel like we operate as an extended PR limb for them, so I would like to see them be challenged on some level.
Wait, so, like, the game will just be terrible if they're not undefeated going into
No, but it just would be add a little fun element to what's already the
and
game
it's
of
in
the
Mexico
year.
City.
Right.
Why aren't we going to Mexico City, by the way?
Kind of dangerous, I think, to start. I've heard that.
I would not. I would love to go. I would love to go.
I don't know about
that. We should get on that.
Mexico City may be dangerous, but I
feel like... I mean, probably parts of it. Parts
of it are
beautiful.
I feel like the NFL would go all out to make sure we were fully protected.
Yeah, I'm sure Henry doesn't like the comment that was just made. I'm sure it's a beautiful
Strike
city.
Strike it from the record.
The New Orleans Saints are 5-1.
Tamposi's going to Mexico City. How about that?
Yeah, she is.
What for? What reason? What are you doing there?
I'm going for the game.
Good for you.
How did just you like as that? A fan or?
Yeah.
Are you working there?
I may be going to go.
This sounds suddenly very shady. What are you cannot describe what it is you're doing there?
No. I'm I'm going with Damashek and MJD to shoot it.
Who's producing our podcast?
That's why we're not going.
No, you want a little pull back the curtain, Erica. I knew about this trip that you're going on before you did.
I know. You gave me the okay because you wanted me to have this opportunity, and I really appreciate it.
I did get a phone call from a Shadowy League figure. Would you be okay with this? And I said, of course. We would love her to go to Mexico and never be seen again. All right, here we go. The Saints, 5-1. First place in the NFC South, travel to Minneapolis. Here's one of the best games of the season, potentially, boys. A rematch of that famous divisional playoff game. Stephon Diggs, one of the most memorable plays in the last 30 years in the NFL. I'm going out on a limb, but I don't care. Saints, Vikings, Greg. Oh, yeah, rematch of the Minneapolis Miracle.
It is as good a matchup as you can have with two of the best quarterbacks in the league, but to me, the best quarterback right now is Drew Brees. He would be my pick for MVP. I mean, you're splitting hairs. You're splitting hairs between him and Patrick Mahomes, but I would give him the ever so slight edge. I'm thinking of a play last week. This is what MVPs do. Down 17-7. You're in Baltimore. Late third quarter, it's third and long. They send an absolutely perfectly timed blitz where a safety gets through free and gets all over Drew Brees. And you know what he does? He still completes a pass with a safety draped all over him. You pick up the first down. You go score a touchdown. You score, 17 points in the fourth quarter against the best defense in the league, and you go win a game on the road. That's what MVPs do.
I saw something in that game I never saw before. Sean Payton went for the fourth down on four different times on one drive to open the game. Four different times, and it reminds me of Sam Weiss when I wrote the Ohio River offense said, you know, the no huddle gave him a few percentage points edge on everybody every week. And if you have a quarterback who knows what he's doing, a veteran, that gives you another few more percentage points that you take into a game. And this is what the Saints are taking into a game every week. Sean Payton's aggressiveness and play calling, and Drew Brees gives them, 8% chance already before the game even started to win. And then you look at a team like the Browns that has punted 16 times in the opponent's territory this year. The next closest team is the Texans with 9. I think coaching matters that much.
Ouch. Vikings have faced Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Sam Darnold. This is not going to be the way it is this week. That's a totally different deal. The one thing, though, on the flip side for Cousins is John DeFilippo, I think, is becoming the next big head coaching candidate, because you look what he did with the Eagles last year and Nick Foles in the Super Bowl, and now I think he's getting the best possible version of Cousins as well.
He might be interviewing with both of our favorite teams, by the way.
These articles start coming about who the names are, and he's at the top of every one of them, and he's got a good track record at this point.
This matchup got me thinking, though, about the guy who made that play, Stephon Diggs. The last 2 weeks, he's had 33 yards each week. He got targeted 14 times for 33 yards. As great as the Cousins to Thielen connection can be, this team would be humming if you're getting them both, Diggs and Thielen, going at the same time.
And back to Drew Brees for a second, because that is interesting, Greg. So I haven't heard anybody say that Patrick Mahomes isn't the MVP leader. And I think you make a lot of sense. In addition to the fact he hasn't thrown an interception yet, and he's averaging 8.5 yards per attempt, Drew Brees, and his team is 5-1 and leading the division. His completion percentage, which it's been always been great, and I think he holds the NFL record, and he's said it a couple times now, it is all the way up to 77%.
That's
just like, that doesn't happen. That's an absurd number.
He's also
77%.
He's also only been sacked 9 times in 6 games. So he's not putting his offense in
a
hole.
And he's making more plays on his own like that one. I mean, granted, a lot of those throws, of course, are short, easier throws, but he's making a lot of tough throws this year that stand out.
And your boy, and I'm not taking anything away from him, Tom Brady, got all the love for being old and great. And I feel like Drew Brees doesn't get that love because Tom took it all already. And people now, since he set the bar or reset the bar, it's not that big a deal. But this guy is as good as ever. And he's 39 turning 40.
I like the Saints in this game. We should pick this game.
Let's pick them.
I'm taking the Saints.
I don't feel confident about it, but I think they're the better team.
You know who's helped the Saints a lot? Your boy, DeMario Davis, who's been on both of your teams. He was a great sign.
Leave him getting to the Jets for like a cup of coffee.
Great season for them.
I almost locked the Saints. I had it on my piece of paper, but then I got freaked, but I'm picking them to win it.
The opponent is too good to lock against, I think. But
I like the way the Vikings are playing. I love them at home. 23-20.
Squeaker.
Finally, Monday Night Football. You know, I asked for it, and I got it. I said, if you're going to have the Patriots in primetime, put them on the road.
Right.
Because then you could watch a fun game. All right, so who they got? Oh, the Bills.
Oh, thank you.
The worst team in football.
Yeah, it's Tom Brady has 16 touchdown passes
Greg.
This season. The Bills have 3.
It's not your fault, Greg, but it gets me so mad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they've just got it made, playing the undefeated Chiefs in primetime. What an easy matchup. Give them some credit for a great victory.
Well, we talked on the Twitter show. I
mean, come on. You're not going to feel bad about
just
the Chiefs.
The home games.
This is absurd.
And then they're
one.
Like, we have to give them 3 primetime games in 4 weeks. And we want him to be at home for two of them. Let's put him on the road just once. Yeah, do it with Buffalo.
Well, here's the thing. The Bills haven't had a home Monday night football game in a decade. So they're trying to do something nice for the Bills. But, you know, Bills, ratings poison. So who do we got to put him with? America's team.
Well, that's her. We talked about flexing. We talked about flexing these games on Monday night, and this is the Exhibit A.
Right.
This is Exhibit A because this is not great for a Bills fan to on national TV if this goes the way you think, 45-10 or something. That's not what you want everyone watching. You want your team hidden away on 1 p.m.
Bills were a playoff team last year, which
I get that, but you got to put them out there in week 2 or 3 to make sure, you know, the wheels haven't fallen off.
They should just, you know what they should do? ESPN should do for this game. In the bottom right-hand corner where they usually have the NFL logo or the ESPN logo, just have the hashtag Operation Pink Pony. The entire game, four straight hours.
Thank you.
This is why you don't hire a defensive-minded head coach, or why it probably doesn't help. Because like,
I don't think it's going to happen as much in
you
the future.
You can do a decent job on your defense, and like, you better have a plan on your offense, or else it don't matter what your defense
is. I've got a fantasy tip for people in deep, deep leagues. Let's check this weekend to see if the Patriots activate Kenneth Farrow from their practice squad. Sony Michel is not practicing. They don't have an inside runner, and Kenneth Farrow won their practice player of the week last week on the scout team. So
you get a good you get a special parking lot.
If he gets elevated and you're in a deep league, maybe take
where
a
are you
flyer
on picking
him.
Up Derek Anderson like in a super deep league?
Leagues aren't deep enough.
We never updated. Sony Michel's not out for the season. It sounds like he will be able to come back, and that's a huge part of their offense.
Another
it's a
big
run,
break.
It's a running
Another
back.
Great break.
I mean, they've lost like half of their.
Also,
their deep. I don't know if that's a break.
Their deep passing. Josh Gordon has made a big change last
yes,
couple
he
weeks.
Is.
He has 16 targets in the last two games.
I would sit Gronk again this week, by the way, but I think he's practicing. And
he is.
He is. Sounds like he'll be back. Trey Flowers.
Give that old dog another
getting
week.
Getting it done. Once every 5 weeks, I have to just mention Trey Flowers is like the best defensive player the Patriots have had.
Once every 5 weeks?
Yeah.
So we'll check back in on
I'm just saying, 13. He doesn't get much love. He's great.
That's it. Check back in with us on Sunday night. Oh, we got to pick that game. Society has deemed that we must pick this game.
Let's
all
get out on a limb here.
I got the Bills. I got the Bills 30-10.
Wow. That's surprising. I'm going to go with the Patriots 41-17.
Okay. Wes?
Patriots 23-17.
Wow.
Patriots 27-0.
You know what? I'm going to go Bills 40-10.
That would be a tough.
Listen.
That would be one of the worst moments of the Belichick era. That's for sure.
That's it.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back on Sunday night with a recap of all the games we just previewed, so make sure you check that out. Also, a reminder that every Tuesday at 1:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, and 9:30 p.m. overseas in the U.K., you can watch our Twitter show with Reggie Bush and Colleen Wolfe and all sorts of fun. So thank you for your support. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm. The mailman, the old boss, and Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. And don't forget about Bridget. I'm coming home, honey. Till Sunday night.